Welcome back into Cairo Nights. It's G and Mace. Happy Tuesday to all of you. It's the 8 o'clock hour of Cairo Nights. We call it the wind down hour. We celebrate those that listen to our show at home, those that listen to our show at work, and those that listen to our show with an adult beverage in hand. With what now, Brother Mace?
With that pinky finger in the air.
Man, you know, I can't stop, won't stop.
Mm-mm.
8:30, we do sports. Stacy Joe comes in to hang out with us, talk a little bit about the Seahawks. And you know what? There's an introduction that's going to happen at 8:30 to someone on the show. Yeah, you might want to take a listen to that. All right, we have a guest in. His name's Logic Amen. But before he comes on, I want to get everybody up to speed, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what happened. Marshawn Lynch had a football camp, a kids camp, a free kids camp, a two-hour free kids camp over in the West Seattle area. All right? Now, here is Stephanie Siva, one of the mothers who confronted Lynch with her side to the story. We're going to kind of start things from the beginning. Here you go.
He just walked up randomly, tapped my son on the shoulder and told him to run around the track. You know, when you get in trouble in football, you know, most of the time you're told to run. So he sent him to run, but before he sent him to run, he didn't realize that he was speaking directly to Matthias, telling him to get out of the drill. Well, his words were, get the f*** out of my drill. Then, on top of that, I guess one of the kids didn't realize that he was talking to that kid as well. And he proceeded to tell that kid again, the next kid, to get the f*** out of the drill. And acted like he was going to bean him with the ball. Obviously, he didn't, you know, but acting like, you know, so the kid would kind of move faster to get out of his drill.
Okay, then so she proceeded to storm onto the field and make a scene of taking her son out of the camp. As she left, Marshawn Lynch catches up with her as she's trying to go up the stairs. He's chasing her up the stairs to talk to her. Now, here is how the beginning of that interaction went. It was captured on video.
I didn't say that. Maybe you should just let him know because they're all in tears.
Is there a man here with you?
Yeah.
Okay, so truth of the matter is... Yeah, I do. I cuss a lot. I cuss in front of
them. So look, I cuss a lot. Every one of them's
all right, that's okay.
Is
there a man here with you?
Yeah, again, you heard him. He repeatedly asked if there was a man there. It was if there was a man there. Then at a certain point, he noticed that he was being filmed. And here's the last part I'm going to play, and then we'll let Logic come in on this.
No, but they can see you fine here.
I know. Come on. So if it takes that amount of time for when I tell a kid to do something and they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then there is consequences, like push-ups, like running laps,
like telling them to get sit up,
like telling them to get out of my drill if they're not participating. Get the f*** out of my drill. Get the f*** out of my drill or whatever it takes to get my drill. Because there's one kid, but there's also
50 others.
100 more kids out there.
Okay. Logic Amen is here to have this discussion about whether or not if that was right or is there wrong. Because right now on social media, I got to tell you, Mace, on social media in the Seattle area, there is a lot of that's just football conversation.
Hmm.
Logic, welcome to the show, my man.
Peace, man. Thanks for having me on. First, I want to address how out of breath my brother Marshawn
yes.
was after running up. Because I run up those stadium stairs on a reoccurring basis.
Those one at Chief South?
Yeah, yeah.
Those stairs are serious.
Bro, no, not for Beast Mode. Anyways,
okay.
He must have got his Beast Mode battery taken back from it. It like, must have got revoked.
Okay.
But I think it's not about right or wrong. I think it's about context. And I think when you put it when you package it as right or wrong, then we get into some bashing on Marshawn Lynch, and then there's some racial dynamics that play there, some gender dynamics play there when you start saying right or wrong as opposed to context.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'm also hearing, because West Seattle is my neck of the woods, what I'm also hearing is that mother, I put this out here for context, used inappropriate language, including allegedly the F word to chastise Marshawn using the F word. So I thought that was a little ironic.
Okay.
And she also referred to Marshawn and people can be a phallic symbol.
Okay, right. I got you.
She said, so this is how she talks to her child. She uses the F word. She allegedly refers to people who are, you know, jerks or tells kids to get out F off the field. She refers to them as, you know what I'm saying, a male organ, you know, and whatnot. So that's the context right there.
Stop right there. Before you keep going, there's a text that came in from the 206, and they said, of course Logic will defend him.
What?
That's exactly what they said. So I just want to just
I didn't get finished. I didn't get finished.
Yet. I know.
You're just ramping up.
So there's already people that think that you're going to defend.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Right. And then I think it's all puns intended. Of course, Logic. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
Okay. So what I'm trying to say, I'm going to keep it 1,000 with y'all, man. I'm going to keep it 1,000 with y'all. I'm a former basketball coach for over 15 years. In the AAU circuit, basketball coach, right? Okay. And also played football, though, right? And so I do not agree with him cursing at a child to tell a child to get off the field.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way that he could have communicated his disappointment with a child. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So, and I think that the way that he repairs that is he goes up to the child and says, look, this is the reason why I said that. I apologize. I could have did something better. So there can be some repair done there. You know what I'm saying? People acting like he can't repair the situation. Like, it's just like he's traumatized. Like, the kid is just, oh my gosh. You know what I mean? So, however, at the same time, this is football. And I told my youngest son, he wanted to play football. I said, son, you play basketball. And you play basketball like a finesse basketball player. You don't like contact. This is full contact. I told him this when he was like 8 or 9. Nah, Dad, I want to play football. I'm like, son, if I pay this money for this equipment and I spend the time, you know what I'm saying, dedicated to watching you, you know, practice and play, you can't quit. It came a week. I'm done, Dad. I'm done. No, you're not. Because I told you that football is the only sport in my athletic, you know what I'm saying, philosophy that a coach or an adult can yell at you for not doing the right thing because your life is in danger. And I played football where the coach is like yelled at you. You know, say I played for all day. You know, if you tackle with your head down, you could break your neck. So it's the only sport where you could actually get injured and do the wrong thing. And a coach is warranted at yelling at you, chastising you because why? Because your health is in jeopardy. It's the only sport other than maybe boxing where you are celebrated first for hurting another player, neutralizing another player. And then we worried about, oh, is he okay? That's the only sport that you do. So it's highly masculine, at times toxic masculinity. It's highly patriarchal. You know, we teach young people at a very young age, the only role that women have in football is cheering for the guys.
Right.
Point blank.
Right.
Or she can go get snacks as a football mom. I mean.
No. This is the system.
Not saying that you have to go along with everything, but this is a system that you take a blind allegiance to, a patriarchal, masculine, at times toxic, masculine system that you agree when you put your child in football. Let's be clear. And not even to mention your child is getting set up to be concussed. I mean, come on, man. You're sacrificing your body.
Okay. So I heard what you're saying, and you are right. When you're talking about football, right, yes, you can get hurt out there on the field. But let's keep it the scale back, and let's put it all into context. This was, and I did this on purpose, this was a 2-hour free family kids camp.
Right.
There is, you can't get hurt in this. This is a kid camp. There's no equipment. You're not hitting or anything like that. And so there's a lot of people.
That's good for context.
You know what I mean? I just want to put that into context.
But he's still preparing them for when he does get hit.
And an 11-year-old being talked to like that,
He should not have talked to him like
that. He should not be talked to about that. Now, you want to add context. This is number 16 for me. Mm-hmm. This is the 16th year that I have been around an NFL football team. Mm-hmm. My sons play a little football themselves. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that might say, well, you're raising your kids to be soft. No, football is different today than it used to be. I don't want to hear, well, back in my day, you know what? Back in my day, when you were late to practice, there was called bull in the ring. You had to stand in the middle of the circle while kids tried to hit you. What little kid has a license? So you're late to practice and you're trying to physically hurt me in practice? Also, back in my day, if you want to say that, in football, if you were not doing the right things, the coach withheld water from you. Well, the Minnesota Vikings had a player by the name of Corey Stringer who had water withheld from him and he died.
Well, we gotta be careful with the false equivalencies now, man. We can't say get the F off the field is the equivalent to not giving a child proper nourishment.
No. It's not false. What I am saying, hold on. What I'm saying is you cannot say this is football. I'm trying to give you context into how football has changed.
So this was football.
Football used to be where two-a-days, even in the NFL pros logic, two-a-days used to be where the pros would have equipment and they would hit each other twice in practice.
I got to keep it 1,000 with you, man. I gotta take off the gloves right now. And I got to get personal real quick. Okay. So we both got sons, right?
Okay.
And I know a little bit. And you talk about your son, tell me when to stop. You want your son to play professional football?
Yeah, that'd be good for him, right? Yeah.
So that even means if he has to go through the shame compliance that you know that football abides by. There is a culture of shame compliance. Either you do what you're told to do or we'll shame you to make you mentally tough. Now, this little – now, I'm not –
We're still talking about a free camp now.
Hold on a second, man. But those children are at that camp in the multitude they are because of who's running that camp and who's going to be there.
Right.
Because the person that's running that camp is arguably a Hall of Famer. And they want him or her to go to the best camp possible to prepare them to go to the pros. And
that's not what that camp's for. No logic. I'm not going to let you get away with that.
But you know that's true.
No. That is not what that camp's for. When Russell Wilson runs a camp, when some of these athletes run a camp.
Russell's going to do it differently than him.
No. These camps are not for these little 5-year-olds and 10-year-olds to learn in 2 hours how to go be a pro.
I know, but it's the accumulation. The accumulation of going to that camp plus another camp plus another camp plus all the, maturation process they're going to do through, prep sports and AU football and high school is going to prepare this accumulation. It's their resume, bro. You know that. And I know that. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You know, if your son had to endure some shame compliance, you know what I'm saying? Some derogatory comments towards him, then that's a part of it, man. Because if I can get you off point by telling you to get the F off your field at 11 years old, how am I mentally preparing you to really go out there and beat out the competition to one day be on that college football field, D1, or play for a pro team? This is all about the accumulation of experiences to prepare them for, let's just be real, man. For war.
Okay. You know what? I have one simple question for you.
Mm-hmm.
One simple question. Because right now we're all over the place. So I'm going to bring it right back.
Yeah, let's bring it back.
Here's a question. Yes or no? I just want to make sure I'm clear. Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
You think that an 11-year-old should be told to get the F out of a drill?
No, I said no.
Okay.
No.
Okay. You said no.
But you know, if it happens, it happens. And we're going to deal with it.
Mm. Okay. Wait. But
I don't agree with it, but I know that comes with the territory. That's why I know that comes with it when, when I enroll my child in there. I'm not saying anything goes. Like, right, let me tell you something. And this is how football is, you know what I'm saying, when we talk about CTE and all the concussions and all the data that's coming out with how it destroys your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I send my child to war and let them go into the draft, do I agree that the enemy forces kills my son? No. But do I want my child to train You know what I'm saying? So it won't happen, so they can be as competitive as possible. Yes. Am I gonna like it if Marshawn tells my 11-year-old to get off the field, like F you, or get the F off the field? No, I'm gonna check him on it, but I'm also gonna have a conversation and with my son and say, hey man, is this really for you, my guy? Because this ain't gonna be the first time, and daddy's not always gonna be there to be like, hey, can you not talk to my son like that?
I want to step in the middle of this, okay. Because I'm hearing the way I'm hearing this is that you're talking about the sort of structure of football, right? And G is sort of talking about where I thought football had progressed to. But Logic, it sounds like you're talking about, you know, more old school, the deep entrenched stuff that's been around in football for a long time.
I'm talking about, yes, what I'm not just to give it context, though. I'm sure. Talking about using your physical body,
yes,
right, as a commodity in this crass capitalistic economy,
totally,
to make a living, then you better get used to it.
Right.
And it's good to have an advocate, whether male or female. Football mom did what she was supposed to do. It's great to have an advocate, but get used to using your body as a tool to make millions of dollars. If that's the lane you want to get in, you better learn how to do it at 11 years old, because at the same time, when you're complaining, getting kicked off the field by someone using the F word, there's probably 3,000 kids willing to take your place and say, man, call me anything.
Right.
Anything you want, Marshawn, so I can get this experience on my resume, so I can play at that level and take that kid's spot.
It makes me think about, because I'm not a big, I didn't grow up with football, right? Mm-hmm. But it makes me think about the entertainment industry and how that has changed over the last couple years. And for a long time, there were folks who got away with a lot of bad behavior.
Yeah.
And it was because, well, they are a genius. They are irreplaceable. There's no one else who could do that. And it turns out that's not the case, right? That it doesn't have to be that way. So I want to ask you, I do understand what you're saying about the stakes. I never really thought about it that way, about your life is in danger, even when you're a kid. But my question is, do you think that moving forward, there's any way to communicate those stakes without that sort of demeaning degradation or that level of harshness?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I will say it does include yelling, though.
Sure.
That's the culture of football. We can't take away all the tools.
Sure.
First of all, they got helmets on. So I already learned that when I played football in high school, that they're going to yell at you.
But yelling to me is different from asking a mother if there's a man around.
Can I ask you something? Can we keep it in context real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Do we really think that Marshawn's really that guy? Does it sound like he said it out of passion, or does he sound like he said it out of malice?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't answer that. But this is all I know. And we have to seriously, seriously keep this into context.
Right.
There are no helmets.
Right, right.
There is no football team.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
This is a 2-hour camp, family free kid. So you could tell a kid to get the F out at 11 years old. An adult might understand. Someone who's been around football might understand. But we don't know what that 11-year-old is going to do after that.
That's probably how Marshawn came up. That's what he knows, you know?
I think it's rectified with a conversation afterwards, you know, with the child. And I don't think she should have went on TMZ either. She's clout chasing. Keep it 100 with you.
That's Logic,
man.
It was resolved, bro.
It was resolved. That's community rules. It was resolved. Why she got to go on TMZ? She clout chasing.
Logic, love it when he comes on.
Yes.
We got to bring him on again. We got to do some other topics. Logic, appreciate you, brother.
All right, man, I love you, man.
You guys been listening to Cara Nights. Coming up next, we got Stacy Joe to come in to talk some Seahawks. Seahawks insider, Cara Nights, GMAs. Welcome back into Cara Nights, everybody. It's G and Mace. Happy Tuesday. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation at 8 o'clock. If you did not hear it, go ahead and go to thecairoradio.com. Go to that website or mynorthwest.com to pull up the podcast at 10 o'clock tonight. DB, our good buddy David Burbank, will have that podcast up, and you'll be able to hear that conversation that we just had with Logic Amen. That was pretty amazing.
He's the best.
Coming up next, we got Wheel of Segments. Mace is here, so you know the wheel will be brought in, actually, because usually I ain't bringing it in. But Mace will. But right now it's 8:30. Time to talk sports. Stacy, Joe, how's your
'90s attitude? Coffee.
How's your '90s attitude today?
Jeans. These are just high waisted skinny jeans. They aren't even light.
I didn't even mention your jeans. I just said, "How is your '90s attitude?" That's all I said.
'90s attitude is great. Always there.
As far as your jeans, I have no idea what your jeans look like.
I live with that '90s attitude. G likes to make fun of my very on trend '90s style.
Yeah, '90s is back.
'90s is back. Why are you a hater?
He is just looking away.
All right. Let's get right to it. Mace, we got the Seahawks' first preseason game. That is on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will be able to get to hear that right here on Cairo Radio. That game will be played right here. And since Morris here, since Stacy Joe is here, it's all the same.
You can't see the insane. It's not even side eye. I'm just looking right at G.
Since you're
here. How dare you?
Give us five players.
Okay.
Give us five players that we need to be on the lookout for the first preseason game of the season.
Ready. The first player, and this is actually, I made him number one because this is a player I'll be watching closely, is running back Travis Homer. He was, I think, a sixth-round pick out of Miami this year. He is going to really cement his roster spot. If he's going to do it, it's going to be on special teams. And special teams coach Brian Schneider actually said he's the best new player on offense on special teams. He's really impressed by him. Chris Carson today, I actually did not expect this, but we were asking him about the rest of the running back room, and he was like, yeah, Travis Homer is actually really good at pass protection, and he kind of showed us some stuff.
Wow.
Which you normally don't hear about a rookie coming in and veteran players thinking, oh, yeah, I learned something from him.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. G's talked to him. I talked to him the other day. Easy guy to root for, dude. He seems like he's just got, I mean, he gives a lot of effort on every play, but also someone who, how do I say this? The way I'll describe him is I asked him about playing video games, what games he plays, and he says he mostly plays RPG games but has been playing Madden lately. And I was like, oh, do you play with your teammates or anything? And he was like, no. And I thought, oh, because you don't want to like embarrass them. Like, you're so good. And he was like, no, I'm really bad.
Yeah, so, he talks about that.
I know. I was like, I like that this just kind of like self-deprecating,
cool.
I'm not very good at this. So yeah, I wait for Skyrim and stuff to come out.
I don't want to put too much expectations on this guy, Mace.
Mm-hmm.
But since she brought him up as number one, he's my number one, too.
Really?
Yes. And here's why. In my conversation interview that I had with him, when I sat down with him, found out that he's not really a big time Madden sports video game player, but he likes Dragon Ball Z and all those things. But what really stood out to me is he has an old soul.
Oh yeah. Yep.
He has a energy about him. I'm not trying to get weird on you guys,
he's a
young guy. But again, he has an old soul.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And he is here for football.
Mm-hmm.
Let me repeat. He's here to play football. I'm like, well, gee, what else would he be here for? Like, all the other side, the attraction, the things that kind of get these rookies kind of, you know, off focus a little bit, he doesn't have that. He's here to play football.
And you can see it in practice. I mean, he's all out. He's not like just chatting it up. He's, when it's his time to take, to have a carry, to take reps, it's 100%. He'll finish out a run. You know, run to the end zone and come back. One thing I will say is he wasn't practicing today. We didn't speak to Pete Carroll, so I don't know what the injury update is, any issue. I know he had a hamstring injury in OTAs. I don't know if it's the same thing, but number 25. If he's suited up Thursday, I think both G and I will be watching him, and I think both of us would say he's the number one player to watch
and he
as far as this time in the preseason.
And he is special teams, And
he's going to be out on special teams a lot, but he's a running back.
He's a running back.
All right, because it's that first game of the preseason, like you could easily be like, oh, watch Russell Wilson. But the starters aren't going to be out for very long. So we're looking at guys that we think will get a lot of snaps. Okay. So this is one.
Well, we spent a lot of time on number one, so we got to go four fast.
Okay, I'll go really fast. Okay, next, Rashim Green. Very important on this D-line without Jaron Reed and without Frank Clark, who is a D-end. Uh-huh. Number three, quarterback Geno Smith also did not practice today, but he is the favorite to win the backup job behind Russell Wilson. You want as little drop-off as possible. There's going to be a lot no matter what when it's Russell Wilson, but you're really hoping for a strong preseason.
How's Paxton Lynch doing?
Not great. Number four, wide receiver DK Metcalf. I wouldn't expect him to play a ton, but he is on track to make a return from an oblique injury and play Thursday. Mm-hmm. The very last one is strong safety Marquise Blair, who I think is as important a piece as any to this secondary.
What's the role of a strong safety?
That's a good question. It's really you're playing a little more down near the defensive line than a free safety would. So you're usually a bit bigger.
Okay. Cam Chancellor?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Versus Earl Thomas, who's really fast. Yep. He's in coverage. The free safety is responsible for, at least in Pete Carroll's defense, like the biggest open portion of the field.
Cool.
The strong safety is someone who you want to be able to have him track the ball that same way, but he can also drop down and tackle tight end. He can tackle a running back.
In Pete Carroll's offense, Mace, the strong safety is essentially another linebacker sometimes. Okay.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
They're in that situation.
But you need that versatility.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know we've already discussed it. What about Paxton Lynch again?
You know, he had a rough day. I think that Geno Smith.
Because Paxton Lynch is supposed to be, he's fighting for the backup quarterback job,
right?
He is
fighting for the backup quarterback
job. How's he fighting?
He's okay.
Okay.
No, he didn't have a great day today. He's had moments. He had a good pass to one of your kind of guys that you've mentioned to me that now I've been watching is Terry Wright. He had a good pass to Terry Wright.
Yeah.
Also a good catch by Wright. But then he had another ball batted down by Barkevious Mingo. Had some pressure on him. He had a tipped pass that was intercepted by Marwin Evans, so it was tough today.
Overall, what can we expect? I want to make sure this on Thursday, we should not have our expectations high. Like this doesn't necessarily need to be a win or anything. How should we look at this?
The absolute best thing to look at if you're watching this game is that no one get injured. Quite honestly, this team is really struggling with depth. And if you're a Seahawks fan, you should be happy with the news if no player is injured. Mm. That should be a win. That's a win.
Okay,
love it.
Okay. Mace, do you have any preseason questions before we head on out here? I know you wanted to know about Paxton Lynch and how he did today.
I did, because I know the backup quarterback situation is in flux. We don't know
what
who it's going to be.
What do you think about Paxton Lynch?
Well, I heard he didn't do great. I heard it was a rough game.
Yeah, what do you think about Geno Smith and Paxton Lynch battling it out?
Did Geno Smith play for the Jets?
Yeah!
Geno
Smith, you know, yeah!
Oh, yay!
The Anno Sports.
I just want to have a segment where we actually ask Aaron. Aaron, I want a segment where you answer all the sports questions.
I would love
to
do that.
I bet you're better than you think, and if not, I want to hear you confidently be like...
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would confidently speak in interview platitudes.
I want it in that voice he just did. Did you catch that?
Listen. Aaron, what is a strong side linebacker?
Well, when you're talking about the strong sideline backer, you got to consider the importance of that position. They are on the inside, and they really need to be there to block when the opposing defense comes in. Tried to shoot up the middle.
That's what I'm saying. Dude, anything. Any question. What's a fullback?
Well, fullback plays a very important role out there on the field. You know, they are... They're there when the first line breaks down. You need to make sure that fullback is there,
bro.
To come in.
Why have we been doing
Cairo Knights
this long? Need.
And I had no idea.
Wait, what's this alter ego of Aaron? What's his name?
Either Henry
Homer. No, not Henry.
Henry.
Chip.
No.
We need one. Maybe the text line can help us find one.
Claude.
That's not bad. French.
Claude?
It's okay. I like it. Maybe Claude?
Claude is married to Mildred.
Okay.
You know that.
It's Claude.
Nice to be here, y'all.
I feel like you just had Gator.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love it. Yes. Gator.
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 Yeah,
Gator. 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 Gator is Gator. Okay.
It's Gator.
All right. You know what?
That's why, a good segment.
That's why our show's at nighttime, because we're not professional enough. One day we'll get more professional. We'll put us in another part of the day.
I don't want that day.
I don't want that either.
Listen to Gator.
All right. Stacey Joe, our Seahawks insider. Take care, Stacey Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Gator, see you later.
Later, boys.
Coming up next, it's time for Wheel of Segments. Car Knights, G, Mace, and Gator.
See ya. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I'm Aaron Mason, here with G. Scott, DB, David Burbank on the ones and tunes. How's everybody doing on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday? You feeling good, G?
Oh, feeling great.
Working it out.
Yeah.
It is post 8 o'clock, so I just want everybody to know, if you want to keep up on the election results from today's primary, we got all that stuff being updated live on MyNorthwest.com, key races, a bunch of stuff, and King and Pierce counties, Snohomish County. There's a bunch of stuff up there. So MyNorthwest.com if you want to play along with the election results tonight. But we're going to do what we always do, G, and spin that wheel segments. Oh, what is she going to be today? I weighed it pretty heavy. Yeah, question of the day. Today's question, we, of course, want to hear your answer to it. So please text the Online Trading Academy text line 989-73, the text line over the break, G, blowing up with suggestions for names for the surprise guests from the last segment. There's some pretty good ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys are funny. But the question of the day is this. What musician or group that isn't around anymore do you wish you could see?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. They could be no longer with us. They could just be broken up and not talking to each other. I'll say you can sort of see them at any age. They'll play on current stage, but in their prime, if you'd like, that's fine. No issues with that. Who would like to go first? Oh! Love has truly been good to me.
Not even one Saturday. Oh, that's Luther Vandross.
It is Luther. I thought so.
That's Luther, baby.
Oh.
Let me tell you something. I don't know if you guys was out there. Were you there? Did you, when Luther Vandross came here, I think it was 2001 or two, he came to Seattle and he ended up dying like less than a couple years after that. Mm-hmm. But he came and he did a performance here and he was amazing. Luther Vandross. If I could see him just one more time perform, he's my favorite. I mean, to this day, this is what I listen to. Like,
yeah.
I'm like my dad. My dad used to say, champ. Why do you listen to that rap? that stuff give me a headache. That's what he used to tell me. And you know what? The older I get, he was right. I listen to that Luther. Nice, good, smooth. So I like Luther Vandross.
That's solid.
That's my deal. Oh, a lot of folk. Ooh, I got some soul.
I know, dude.
253 Marvin Gaye. Mm-hmm. 253 Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
Oh, man, some of y'all I need to come rock with. Anybody that puts Sam Cooke. You my people, man. Sam Cooke. I was born by the river. Okay, I'm done.
DB.
I'm going to keep in that vein. You guys know I love Motown and old school soul. And so for me, it would be the Temptations. I saw a clip. I don't think it was Ed Sullivan. It might have been Soul Train, something like that. But they were performing live, and David Ruffin, the way that he sang live was they sang I Wish It Would Rain, and it was unbelievable. Mm. And so to see them live would be really incredible. Other than them, I mean, I know it's a touchy subject, but to have gotten to see Michael Jackson live would have been absolutely breathtaking.
You know, I didn't even think of that, and you're right. It would have been. I mean, he was one of the best at what he did when he was on stage. Anyway, text line is doing it right. You get a lot of classic answers. The Beatles. I would throw the Beatles in there too. See what those guys can do with modern day stuff. I'd be into that. Johnny Cash, Mamas and the Papas, Van Halen, well, David Lee Roth, not Van Hagar, Van Halen. Robert Johnson says 206. That's some Delta blues. I'm going to go with The Who. When I was 14, my aunt and uncle took me to see The Who. Keith Moon, their drummer, had been dead. He died in like 1980, I think. This was in the early 90s. But I have never been so like transfixed at a concert. And it was just dudes up there playing. But to see that energy that was there, to know that that was happening without Keith Moon, who is basically Animal the Muppet
right.
on drums. Like, I would just love to see that whole thing together. That'd be intense.
This is a text came in from Doug, our buddy Doug in Lake Stevens. They said, is that Hootie Leadbelly, a.k.a. Leadbelly?
Leadbelly.
Who was that?
Yeah, you know Leadbelly?
Mm-mm.
It's a 90s, right?
Well, it became the 90s, actually. Leadbelly was, he was an original sort of blues. He, like, created rock and roll, basically.
Oh.
Apparently, Nirvana was, like, hugely influenced by him. I think they played Goodnight Irene, I want to say, is his song.
Wow. I have been wrong my whole life about who Leadbelly is. I'm looking it up. Where Did You Sleep Last Night? Yeah. Great song.
It's been too hard living. But I'm afraid to die.
Oh, Lord! That's that Sam Cooke! That's Sam Cooke, boy. By the way, if you have ever seen the story of Sam Cooke or looked that up, this is crazy what happened to Sam Cooke towards the end of his life. We're having too much fun. It's Tower Nights, everybody. Coming up at 9 o'clock, it's the Nightcap. G and Mace.